Seven decades of great music, Z103.com. Happy belated New Year. It's Friday. It's time for episode number one for 2025 of The Basics of Economic Development. See, I can count backwards.
Happy New Year. Okay, does that mean seven decades of great music plus one?
Now? Yes.
Yeah.
Now we have to say over seven decades.
Over
seven.
There we go. Okay.
Plus
great.
One.
Good for you.
All right. Mark Wickerson, what's going on?
Hey, well, as we start the new year, I wanted to take a few minutes to reflect on the history of the Huntington County Economic Development Corporation's actual development impact on the growth and development of the various industrial parks in our county, especially those that specifically were, in fact, developed by our entity. With a county our size, you know, 36,000 plus and about 18,000 people in the workforce on any given month, forced to have not to be the home of 9 organized industrial parks.
Wow.
Is really cool.
That is.
Yeah. And okay, so in Huntington, it's like River Fork East, River Fork West, Park 24 out on US 24 east of town, the Commercial Road Industrial Park area north of the bypass. There's what I refer to as the Erie Neighborhood Industrial Corridor, where historically there were companies like Caswell Runyon. There was the Railroad Roundhouse and Yard and so forth. Many of us will remember Majestic Fireplace Company in that neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
And so forth. That park is still vibrant. The Markle Industrial Park at I-69, exit 286 at Markle and US 224. The Warren Business Park north of the interchange at I-69, exit 278. The State Road 5 exit as you're heading toward Warren. The Mill Site Industrial Park is a little lesser known, and it's on State Road 218 east of Warren, and it's a park that the town of Warren developed. HQ helped a little bit, but it was primarily the leadership at the town of Warren that developed that site. And then the Brickley Industrial Park property on the north side of town, where Everfresh Fruit Company is now locating, which, by the way, Everfresh Fruit, if you're not driven by, they do have their marquee sign out on the property now, so they're starting to make some real serious progress.
So the fruit, what they're manufacturing is
ice cream toppings.
Really?
Fruit toppings for ice cream.
Yep. I wonder if they give away free samples.
Well, I don't know. We'll let them get up and running and then ask them.
Run over there and find that.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So anyway, over the years that I've been at the agency, we've facilitated 189 various industrial projects throughout the county. Some of those were new entries into our county, but most of them were expansions by existing employers in locations, though, that, you know, historically were created by the property development efforts of our entity. And historically, you know, HQ itself was created in 1997. Prior to that, it was the Lime City Development Corporation. Prior to that, it was part of the Chamber of Commerce and their industrial community efforts. But once upon a time, when Huntington's River Fork Industrial Park was initially started, it was a for-profit development company that became, you know, that grew into all of these other entities in essence. But it was a for-profit that you had to buy shares of stock to invest in, and then the company used those proceeds to service a mortgage to buy property that became River Fork Industrial Park. It's just really an interesting legacy, and I want to spend a couple shows talking about that in detail. But what I want to focus on today to get started is the growth and development at the Markle Industrial Park, because that was most directly part of my tenure. And in fact, had some of it at the state level as well when I worked for the IEDC, was part of the growth at that park. The park is located, as I said earlier, at I-69 exit 286 at the intersection at US 224 at Markle. The park itself covers 298 acres at this point. The original property owners are still living in the area, so I won't say much about them protect their identities. But essentially, there were three farm owners who worked cooperatively with our agency to start the park. Our agency cooperated with U.S. 224 Development Corporation out of Fort Wayne as the original developers. We acquired at our entity option agreements with those property owners. And actually, in a couple of other cases, we did an outright purchase of the land as well. But not many of our listeners may not know what an option agreement is. So I'll take just a couple seconds to digress and talk about that. An option agreement is a contractual document which is entered in and allows a developer to pay a landowner for the right to perform due diligence research on that property and to guarantee an actual purchase price should the due diligence be successful. Now, for the sake of ease and discussion, most of us have a familiarity with like contracting a realtor to list property for sale. If the realtor finds a buyer, the realtor's paid a fee based on a predetermined percentage of the sales price and that kind of thing. We're pretty much all familiar with that. But with an option agreement, it's kind of like turning that upside down. With an option agreement, the property owner gets paid by the developer for the right to evaluate and potentially sell or acquire the property. So it's not that the property owner is paying anybody anything to do this. It's the other way around. So the developers, it's like, well, why would a developer do it? Well, it's because that same document that allows a developer the right to evaluate the property is used to negotiate and create a contractual sale price. So, for example, if a property owner, if it's Monty Seaburn's conglomerate, right, the world according to Monty that we're all allowed to live in, okay, I come to you and say, hey, Monty, if I pay you $5,000 an acre for 2 years, will you allow me to perform due diligence research on your property? And then if we're okay with that, the next step is, okay, and if everything pans out and it's good property, under that same contract agreement, I'd like you to guarantee that if I find a buyer at $20,000 an acre, you'll absolutely sell without negotiation.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, but we take that for granted.
We do.
That a developer can just, name a price per acre and then that's what happens. Without having that land control, as it's referred to in economic development terms, the buyer-seller discussions can get pretty creative sometimes in ways that might actually interfere with the development opportunity. By having a contract in advance, the two parties involved know exactly how much, what length of time I'd be tying that property up so you can't sell it out from under me for a particular length of time. So you need to make sure that you've priced that, your rights appropriately. As well as then what you want for the sale price to be per acre at the end. Well, at Markle, we started with three farmers owning 298 acres, and that became several companies owning what became 18 parcels on the same property. So if we think about it for a second, the state of Indiana establishes the property tax base, the assessed value for tillable acreage, right? So for farmers out there listening, your tillable acreage for 2025, established artificially by the state of Indiana, is mandated to be $2,280 per acre. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so if the 298 acres that I'm talking about at the Markle Industrial Park, if it would have remained farmland, the assessed value of that property combined would have been just south of $680,000, and it would have generated just south of $14,000 in revenues for the local government. Got that? So it's about $680,000 of assessed value generating about $14,000 in revenues. Well, instead, today, that same 298 acres, because of industrial development, the assessed value, instead of being $680,000, it's $33,084,000. Instead of it generating $13,590, just about $14,000, it's generating $855,000 of revenue for local units of government. So that's nearly a 50 times larger number than the same land if it had remained tillable acreage. Now, again, we're talking about 298 acres, or 0.12% of all the land in our county. So it's not like we're taking a lot of acreage out of production or out of use. Well, also, this discussion doesn't count the number of jobs and payroll taxes generated, nor the indirect economic impact of the Marco Industrial Park. So with most of us would take a 50 times growth rate, you know. If you give me $10, multiply that times 50, and that's what I'll give you back. Most of us will take that.
I would think so.
And that's the impact of industrial economic development. And next week, I want to take a look at some of our other industrial parks, in Huntington in particular.
And before we boogie for today, I got to leave you with a laugh. You mentioned the Majestic Fireplace Company. Years ago, when I had my black lab seeing eye dog Shadow, I wanted to go to the Erie department store, so I got directions turn by turn from a friend of mine, had them all brailed out there. I had a hold of the harness, and a dog doesn't, you can't just tell her, hey, go to Kroger, and she'll go there. You gotta left, right, and give her turn by turns. So she led me right up to a door, and I popped that door open. I was gonna go in there and make my purchase. Well, I wound up giving her the wrong directions, wound up inside Majestic.
Oh, no.
And everyone's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what do you mean? I'm here to, well, this is Majestic. I'm like, well, this is not the hardware store I wanted then. So I wound up in there because I gave her the wrong turn.
And it's just so heartwarming that you can laugh about that, because I cannot imagine how difficult normal sorts of activities are for someone who has that situation to deal with.
They can be a challenge.
It's unbelievable, and we're here chuckling about it. So, well done, my friend.
Yes. Well, I wanted a part for the bathtub. Well, left in the fireplace. I don't know.
You got in hot water in a different way.
I sure did. Well, hey, thanks so much, Mark. We'll see you back here next week.
Very good.
All right, let's get back to the music on the Z.